Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. I was meant to text my brother Junior today and say, Junior, we really need to worship in this track that God has placed on my heart from this morning. And I was bawling before the Lord because the song that we just sung, within minutes of worship unto God, Junior texted me with the list of the songs, and he says, we won't sing all of these, but the one that stuck out above all. And God was showing me through that song that we forget that the rose was trampled on. It means people didn't know that it was there. They stepped on it like it was nothing, but it was the most valuable thing. And as Christ, behind a cold stone, he lived to die, rejected on alone, like a rose that's trampled on the ground. You took the fall. You came out of glory. You sacrificed that for us, to reconcile us back to the Father. Because we meant that much to you. We meant that much. We meant that much. So some of us are not that well. But I challenge you to praise God through it. Why? Because you meant that much. That even if we enter into heaven, one foot, one arm, one leg, we've entered in. And the most important thing is not the facade, not the face, not the things that people see while you're on this earth. The important thing is that regardless of how you look down here, you get in. Your work is found to be worthy of a king. You get in. I've been given a mandate, and I wasn't going to say this, but I'm saying it under God. And under the anointing I know rests upon me, and on the anointing I know that rests within you to receive a word from God. There are so many of us that are called to prepare the church because Jesus Christ is coming back and we're not in the place that we're meant to be. We need to prepare the church. That means we need to hear the word that everybody else thinks is out of season, bring it into season, and deliver the word regardless of what anybody else thinks or feels. That's a remnant that's ready to prepare the church for where God is going. It's not about what men think. It's not about the tickling preaching words that make us all excited and allow us to have an experience with God but not enter into full marriage with him. Not. I'm challenged by this word. Because I had this word prepared in my spirit. And it wasn't until this morning, all this was all done. It was typed up, it was ready. I had nothing else to do. And then God challenged me by one section. Had me up this morning, rewriting, changing. Do you know why? Because it's the word for now. The word I prepared before was for another time. But this is for now. Now. That makes it powerful. And we're going to learn and understand why. Hallelujah. You know what, Brother Junior? I thank you for your heart. I really, really do. It teaches me so much. It really does. And while some people are stuck in the past, I look to you because sometimes I need encouragement. And I know that your heart is the most beautiful thing that God sees in you. In you. May it always stay that way. Hallelujah. We're dealing with the power in submission. Change according to the Holy Ghost. And we're going to be dealing with some scriptures, and it was so relevant that Pastor, under the anointing this morning, dealt with unbelief, because it was tied into everything that I'm saying. The scriptures that he used in Hebrews was tied in. God gave me those same scriptures, not last night, this morning. So I understand there are certain confirmations that tell me it's a word for now. And what we're actually dealing with now by the grace of God, or what we will deal with now by the grace of God, is submitting to the word God has placed in us. submitting to the word God has placed in us. Sometimes we're so used to following, we forget what God has said to us. It is important because that word God has placed in us directs our future and our destination. Are we agreed? Amen. So, God placed a word in us even before we were born into this world. In some of us, that word needs to be resurrected because it has been found to be. Now, please understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying the word of God is dead, inaccurate. I'm saying the word in us has been found to be dead by our actions. It's not doing anything. It's lying dormant. It's meant to be doing something, but because of areas of unbelief within us, the word is found to be dead. You notice the difference? Found to be dead and dead, two totally different things. So it needs resurrecting. This means no longer can we recognize it. If I was to say to this church today, honestly, before God, the Holy Spirit's in here, how many of you definitely know why the Lord Jesus Christ called you into the body of Christ? How many people can honestly raise their hands, young and old, and say, yes? Okay. Now we're all on a level playing field. Now we're all together because we're all in the same place. Do many of us know what we are called to? Can we be bothered to find out how we can make this word come alive in us again? Are we too old, too tired, too sick, too busy, too complacent, too passive? It's a question. But the resurrecting word, or the resurrecting question, is God's word void? Has the mandate that is over your life changed because of where you are? Is it not still required of heaven that we come in line and be in the place God wants us to be? Answer, yes. So in paraphrasing, we can say this. The word of God came to rewrite the wrongs that have been written in us. Amen. I'll say it again. The word of God has come to rewrite the wrongs that had been written in us. Why do I say that? I'm going to explain. We came down, we had a mandate. We now no longer know what that mandate is. That means something's changed. And what God is showing me is that the word of God that he has placed within us is covered with so many layers of ungodliness. We can't see it. We can't extract it. So God's job is to remove by the Holy Spirit the deceit, the lies, all the things that surround the word in order that it can come out so we can align ourselves, understand it, get the conviction by the Holy Spirit, recognize it's God and start moving in that calling and start moving in those giftings. So come on, let's get to the crux of the matter. Does anybody, if I say to you today, does anybody know what the crux is? Can anyone tell me? Do you know what that word is taken from? It's actually taken from a word called the crux imita, which was, there were so many of them, but the crux imita actually was the cross, or the type of cross we believe Jesus Christ died on. So what it's actually saying is, let us get back to the cross. So when we hear the world saying, let's get back to the crux, they don't even understand that they are speaking scriptural things. It means, let us get back to where the cross is. So what is the problem? What is our problem? Do we really believe what the word of God has said concerning our lives? Do we really believe it? What are we saying? Is that word in us? Do we believe it? Come on. Today, I know for a fact, me myself, I've done it so many times. If you're sick, if you're in financial difficulty, I can pray for you and believe God for a turnaround. I can. But now put me in that same situation. Put the sickness on me, God forbid. Put the financial constraints on me. Can I believe God for that same word I delivered to you and apply it to myself and see the fruits happen like I've seen in so many words God has given me for others? Can I? You see, the test is us. I deliver a word, the enemy goes, where did that word come from? Ah, Martin. So what do I need to do to kill that word? Try him with the very word that he has given unto Brother Junior. You see, if he delivered the word unto Brother Junior, that means he heard from God, he believes the word, he gives it unto Brother Junior. But in order to unshake that word, he has to unshake the one that God gave that rhema word to at that time. Is this making sense? So he comes after the source. Remember, it's today's word. It's today's word. So that means it carries power. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. What that means is the word is spirit. The words, plural there, is the word. Come on. Rhema. And the words spirit, and this word is life, says that at that particular time, what Jesus Christ was saying was, I stand here, I am the Logos. The word became flesh and walked amongst men. And that means he is the forever word. The Logos means it's never changing, it doesn't change, it's always forever. So you got to understand that when Jesus Christ spoke, he spoke rhema. He spoke now. So what we have to understand is the Logos never changes. It never changes. But the rhema applies to today. So that is why it's so important when we hear God say something for us to do today, we don't wait till tomorrow. We do it today. Because that's where the power is. When a man gets a word of knowledge, he doesn't wait. He knows that word is time sensitive. So what he does is he delivers the word of knowledge in order that he can affect what he needs to affect now. Now. Where am I going? We're going to the word that God placed in you that has been found redundant. And we're resurrecting that word so we can replace ourselves into the kingdom and not into this world that everybody, or this world of church, where everybody sees Junior as the worship leader. No, but what's God's call on your life? What did God call you into the kingdom to do? Okay. Right, so submitting to the word. We understand from Luke 8 that the seed is the word of God. This is in the second paragraph, or the second part of that. We understand that that word, that same word that we're talking about, that my word is spirit, that word spirit comes from the Greek pneuma. It means breath. Yeah? Do you get that? Breath. So we then understand that when we go back to Genesis and God breathed into Adam, he didn't just blow. There were words spoken in the exhalation of the word of God. Are you with me? Now, please understand, when we exhale the word of, when God exhales, we inhale. And it is that inhalation that gives us power. Because when it comes to us speaking the word, we can only speak what God has breathed into us. And that's what gives us the power. Are you with me? The poor power comes when we add our own little slants and kicks and points to make it sound more than it is. Because the truth plus is a lie. The truth minus is a lie. I tell you what, let's get back to basics and start delivering the word as we received it. Well, it is not us to watch over the word. That's God's job. His job. So Adam stands just a pile of clay. God goes, have some of that, Adam. Adam comes alive. Jesus Christ comes back and he says, my words are spirit and they are life. They cannot do anything else but bring life. So if you speak the word of God into your own life, what's going to happen? Life happens. If you speak death, death happens. Are you with me? We're going somewhere because I understand God spoke a forever word and I'm grabbing out of the air that forever word and I'm speaking that forever word. And then what has to happen? My situation must align itself with the word of God. It must. There is no if, buts or maybes. It's an absolute categoric yes. We're dealing with resurrecting that word. Resurrecting it. Bringing it back to life. I just want to give you a scripture just to explain to us why the word of God is not what we think it is. It's what God says it is. Okay, Joshua 5:13. I'll read you follow. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? What does this man of God say? We'll call him a man of God. He says, no. Hang on. And I thought, back up, God, explain this to me. God is not for us, and God is not for our adversaries. God is for his word. Full stop. He's for his word. So Joshua got it wrong. Yes, he was sent into battle by God. So he stands there and he's thinking, you know, I've been sent by God. I heard the voice of God. I know what I have to do. But this man who stands there says, hang on a minute. No, your ideology, your thinking, your theology is inaccurate. This is what's accurate. I'm not with you and I'm not with them. I have come as the leader of the army's hosts. Take off your shoes because where you stand is holy. It's not what we think. It's what God says. It's not what we think. It's what God. Amen. Our purpose, therefore, is predestined. It's predestined. It's predestined. Listen, God is not going to send us down to this earth to fail. That means he's put a predestined plan with each and every one of us. The world is just learning about DNAs and all the rest of it. The written word within us. The written. There are letters, writings. And in our spirit, God wrote. He said to Jeremiah, I have called you. What I'm doing, I'm speaking audibly so you understand what I've written in your spirit. And what happens is God's mandate in heaven and God's mandate in man, whoever it is, when it comes to judgment day, he lines them up. He lines them up. And then he says, does it compute? You see, we all think we've got a way to get into heaven. I'll just do this. No. It is according to the mandate of heaven. That's why God speaks to me today. And I'm on my knees because I realize if I had died yesterday, I would have gone to hell. I'm using the word H-E-double-L because so many of us are so complacent where we are. We've accepted a gospel that is not the gospel according to the word of the living God. It's not. It's not. And we have to get back in line with what God says for us. No more play. The world is dying. Where's the church? The world is dying. Where's the church? Where? Hospitals are getting fatter. But where are the men and women of God? God has given the gift of healing to. Where are you? Where are you? Today, I send a prophetic word to rise you up from your grave, that you will stand knowing that Christ is the one who called you. Get on your face before him. Find out what your call is. Find out what your gifting is. And operate in it. operate. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So, we realize that anything that moves against this mandate that God has placed within us, against this recording that God has placed in us, should cause us to be convicted within our spirit. And I'm coming to scripture, if any of you are getting worried, so that we can prove, I want to prove before I go home today, why it is we come to God and all of a sudden something happens and we find ourselves in unbelief. Why is it? What is it that causes us to find ourselves in this place? That's what I want to deal with today. Because if I can give you this tool that God gave me, if I can give you this key, scripture will unlock itself to you tomorrow as you read. Scripture will unlock. It will. So, if we will allow it, the word in us can only truly mature through being tested and tried. As we were saying, it's got to be tried. God, listen, everyone's going to say, you know, the enemy tries. You know something? No, God tries you too. He needs to know whether you are of him or not. He has to know. And you see, he doesn't go, oh, I know your heart. He says, no, actually, let's see how you overcome this situation. How do you overcome it? So many of us are on our knees. Why me, God? Why me? Why am I this way? Why did this happen to me? Why did my mother die this time? Why did my father die that time? Why have I been struck down with this? Come on, where's your faith? When I come back, will I find faith? Will I find a believing church? Or will I find a church that have forgotten who I am? Because generations have risen up that know not the Lord? Question. We read in Matthew 7:24, we read about the foundations, we read about building on the sand and building on rock. And the Lord says, you know what? The wind and the waves came, it beat on the rock as much as it built on the house that was built on the sand. That is basically saying that it rains on the just and the unjust, regardless. So the same things that are tried in the church are going to be tried in the world. But when we overcome it in the church, we teach the world how we overcome, then they come into the church. It's that simple. But if they come in and say they're seeing the same old rubbish, if I can just be honest, they're going to go back out in the world because there's no difference. Amen? Amen. So, the wind and the waves. It's important that scripture tells us in that scripture, Matthew 7:24, preceding, it says the man who built on the rock, that he digged deep. He digged deep. He made sure his foundation was solid. Then he built his house. Then when the wind and the waves came, nothing happened to the house. It did not fall, but it stood. Now I want us to look at ourselves as a house. And when the wind and the waves, no matter where or what direction it comes from, beats against us, are we standing or are we waving like we're about to fall? You see, when we fall, we backslide. Are you with me? You see, the wind pushes the house. And if you know about the building of some skyscrapers, you'll understand that they are built to move, to withstand. As Pastor just quite rightly said, even the foundations, if you go down, you'll see them on big, massive wheels. Why? Because should there be an earthquake, they move so they don't topple over and fall. Are you with me? And if you look at the top, they actually will bend according to what the wind is doing. It has to, because if it's a rigid structure and it won't move, nature mash it up. So some of us are tried and we're getting weary, we're getting tired, and what we're doing is we're now seeking to go back to where we were before to get answers from the world, when we should be digging in deeper and getting our answers from what God is saying to us. Where is the Rhema word for my now? Where is it? Okay. So we're moving on. As we says, the testers are both God and the evil one. The evil one's job is to plant
tares amongst your wheat. We're soil. Remember we were saying the week before last? We're soil, and the word that comes from God is seed. And it comes and it penetrates us. That's why we're female and he's male. Okay? And the enemy also comes and he delivers words into us as well. If we accept those words, then tares grow up amongst our wheat, paraphrasing prophetically, yeah? And then what happens is quite basically, when the one outweighs the other, whether it's the word of God or the word of the evil one, when one outweighs the other, it topples that way. Or it topples that way. It's that simple. There's nothing complex about it. If you look at any scale, right, you put one weight on 5 kilos, you put another weight on 10 kilos, what happens? Bends over this way. And the other way, bends over that way. Are you with me? It's the same with the word of God. We must make sure that we are constantly plugged in. This brings me to this watch. This watch is a tag. On the market, it costs about £2,000. Not. Because this is a fake one. And this cost me £30. But believe it or not, if I can just be honest, I like the watch, so I bought it. I knew it was fake. I thought, I ain't paying £2,500 for a red watch. I thought, let me pay £30. It looks like it's the real deal. But what is it? It's fake. It's deceptive. It's deceiving. But I believe God was teaching me about the type of watch it is. And I'm going to relate that to us. It runs by what's called OPEEP timing or kinetic timing. And what happens is when I move, any movement that I make, when that watch is on my wrist, right, it transfers it or it converts it to energy. It stores the energy and then it uses the energy to power the watch. So I don't need a battery per se. Are you with me? And what God was showing me was, as a Christian walks in God, reading his word, praising God, and all these things, getting deep, excavating text, understanding, making the word a part of him, he's like the watch. He's moving in God, so God stores all that energy, that powerful word. He comes to preach, he speaks the word, everybody's blown away. Wow, what a word is in you. But when I put the watch down, if I leave it for long enough, the energy that's in there that powers the hands stops. It stops because there's no movement. Us in the church, we need to move in spiritual things to keep our inside alive, to keep it stored. So when something happens, we are not found barren, but we're found ready to give birth to that word God gave us. Is the church ready really to travail? Are we? Are we ready to stay in that position and push until that word comes out? What am I talking about? Could it be fasting and pray? Are we ready when we hear one of our sisters or one of our brothers has an ailment? Are we ready as a church to truly travail in prayer, in the word, until we get that rhema word that's going to deal with that devil once and for all? Are we? Question. You see, notice Jesus Christ taught with asking or by asking questions. Is it lawful? Is it lawful? It's just dropped on the floor. Maybe that will help the movement of the time. Is it lawful for a man to heal on the Sabbath? Notice, question. What does he do then? He says to the man, stretch out your hand. In other words, he left it to the people to answer it for themselves. But he did what was right. Amen. He did what was right. Okay, so where are we going? We need to submit to the word of God. Oh, sorry, the word that God has put in us. The enemy will always try to overthrow that word. Why? Because he wants to sit on the throne of our heart. That's it. Once he's got you, he don't really want you. He knows you're going to the same place as him. So he's not really bothered. Are you with me? That's why it's so key we stay in the kingdom, doing kingdom business for our king. So, you know, some of us spend so much time speaking about what the enemy's doing, I believe we forget about what God's doing. It is true. But I'm told in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who do what? Okay. To all who believe. And this is where we're coming to now. I really want to, I was going to run through those that didn't submit. We've got Adam, who didn't fully submit to the word of God. We've got Onan in Genesis 38, 9 to 10, who would not take on the seed of his brother. He was smote. We've got Saul. We know the story of Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15 pretty much gives the account of the Amalekites. We've got Achan in Joshua 7. We've got Hymenaeus and Alexander, who the apostle delivered unto Satan to teach them not to blaspheme. Then we go on. We've also got the submitters, those who submitted. Abraham submitted unto the word of God, and he would have slain his son had the angel not stopped him. We've got Enoch, who submitted to the word of God and walked with God 300 years before God says, you know what, love you, come up. We've got Joseph, who submitted to the word of God to the saving of his household. We read in Genesis 45, 3 to 7. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth your father yet live? His brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold in Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. He submitted to the word of God. He didn't fight it. He submitted. That's why some of us are going through what we're going through now. Because you know what? God has already ordained that you will overcome and have the testimony. Amen. You shall. Amen. Moses submitted to the word of God. Hallelujah. To the releasing of the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Joshua submitted to the word of God by compassing the walls of Jericho 7 times. David submitted to the word of God by not building the temple. Solomon submitted to the word of God by building the temple. John the Baptist submitted to unto death in preparing the way for the Lord, having been sent in the spirit of Elijah. Amen. Paul submitted to the word of God immediately on the road to Damascus in order that Gentiles will be saved. Come on, the 120 submitted to the word of God by standing in one place in Acts in the upper room and waiting for the promise of the Father that we now are beneficiaries of. Come on, this is what we're talking about. We are talking about men and women with the word of God within them that submit to that word regardless. Regardless. Okay, so my first question to you is, what is the word over your life? What is it? Do you know? My second question is, why then do we find it difficult, if we know what that word is, to submit to it? And I'm going to really deal with this really, really quickly. It's a large scripture. It was our scriptural text today. John 6, 33 to 65. Now, when I deliver a word, God sometimes gives me revelation behind the word, or what I believe to be revelation. I deliver it according to what God has placed in my heart. Yeah? So, okay. Scripture says so many things, but I want to bring 2 things to you. Could it be that when we come to Christ, our hunger was satisfied, but our thirst was not quenched? I'll run that by you again. Could it be that our hunger was satisfied, but our thirst wasn't quenched? I'm going to take you to scriptures now to bring this to light. Verse 33, John chapter 6 says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. Unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Listen, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you, you have seen, in other words, you came, but you believed not. What am I saying? Paraphrasing really quickly. There is so much, I've got so much scripture to back up what I'm saying. When we come to God, when we come to the Lord, we come because we know that it's right. We have been convicted. Yeah? And our hunger is satisfied because we stand before God knowing this is right. Are you with me? Okay. But then there's our thirst. Our thirst deals with our questions. Notice when the children were in the desert, what did they do? They murmured. They were asking questions. Why has he brought us out here? Why has God placed Moses over us? Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's do this. Questioning the authority of God. Questions. And I come to say this. Our questions sometimes can put us in a place of unbelief. Our questions. Now, please understand, there is a difference between questions based on faith and questions that are not based on faith. We've got two examples. In the book of Luke, we have Zechariah. He asked the question unto the Lord, but because of his didn't believe, his mouth was sealed. Are you with me? Mary, on the other hand, believed, but her question was based upon her belief. Are you with me? Not her unbelief. And so she goes with the saying, she is blessed. The blessed, said Mary. Are you with me so far? Okay. So we're going through the scripture, right? It says this. Okay. It goes on. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. You see, he's talking about there are stages. The coming and the believing are two separate stages. Separate. They're not the same. And him that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will, oh my Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which I am given, I shall lose none. He goes on to say, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, have you noticed? You see him, and you believe. You have to believe on him. You have to believe. The word that God placed in you, you must believe that God placed that word in for it to do anything at all. He goes on to say, the Jews were murmuring, they were complaining. But if we skip down to verse 44, Jesus Christ goes on to say even more. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 45, a little bit further down, he says, every man therefore that hath heard and learned of my Father, he comes to me. So there are all these stages about coming. Are you with me? Have we got that so far? Are we okay? Can I move on? He then goes to say, if any man, in verse 51, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus Christ goes on to speak about his flesh and his blood. And I want to propose something to the church today. We're dealing with our unbelief. We're dealing with the reason why we are struggling really to deal with the word God has placed within us. Could it be that we've come to the table and we've eaten of the bread? But when it comes to the blood, we sip it. Jesus Christ said, eat, drink ye all of it. All of it. Could it be that we have drunk half the glass and left the rest? Could it be? Could it be? Question. When the woman met Jesus at the well, she'd come to him. She came to him. She didn't need bread. She needed a revelation from the Word of God to feed her unbelief, the questions that she had. In verse 25, we read, the woman says unto him, I know the Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Do you understand what she's saying? She's saying, okay, we've come. I know when he comes, he will deal with my hunger. But then he will tell us all things, which deals with my questions. You see, Jesus Christ came to answer our questions. It is our lack of answering that causes us to find ourselves in a place of unbelief. Questions. If you think about it, every single thing. Why me, God? Unbelief. Why? It's a question. I don't think you can find something. If somebody can, please tell me. I really want, because I've searched this. Unbelief results in questions. And our questions are not about really things that, you know, are acceptable to God. They question God's authority. And that is why I rebuke the judgment of the church on particular individuals. Because you know what we do when we judge individuals, when we say in our heart, what is such and such doing here? I know their lifestyle. You know what we're questioning? The power of the blood. We're questioning God's ability through the blood to wash them clean. When I fall, you know what? It is the blood that cleanses me, not the word of men. Don't question me. I understand I've fallen. I need you to help me to get to my feet. I don't need your condemnation. I don't need it. You question the blood, you will be answerable before God. It's that simple. We never question the blood. You know what? Somebody might be in the church and I might think to myself, you know what? You are having a laugh. However, there must be something that's drawing you here. And I pray one day your life does turn around. You know what? So all the issues, I pray for them. I intercede. I say, God, this ain't right. But until that person gets to that place, may I pray and the rest of the church pray and intercede so that repentance truly happens to that individual. That's okay. That's okay. But you may be asking yourself, you know what? What has this got to do with the word God has placed within me? We said at the beginning that there is a word in each and every one of us. We recognize that. Jeremiah chapter 1 speaks, God is speaking to his prophet and he says, I've called you and I've ordained you. It's important. It's important we know who we are and where we're going. Because how can you truly serve in the body of Christ if you don't? You're going to be doing this and you're getting a bit bored because it's not where you're called to be. You're going to be doing this, you're going to get a bit bored because it's not where God has called you. But when you find that area, you know, this is me, this is God, I am not moving. I'm staying right here because this is exactly where God wants me. Some of us are called to come to the church, but our ministry is out on the street. But the church has been taught in such a way, everybody comes to the church thinking, this is where I need to be. Most of the time, people who stand here only preach to a church that for the majority is converted. What about the ones outside who need to hear that word? Who watch you, who look at what you're doing and what you're saying, who look at your lifestyle and how you're living it. Somebody came to me once and she says, you know, Michael, can you pray that God really identifies with me what I am meant to be doing? I know this woman came to the church with a very, very powerful testimony of abuse. And you know, she sat there in the church for years and years and years, and one woman comes through the door who was abused, and God moved on her to speak to that woman. And the woman saw a woman who overcame. Are you with me? The woman saw a woman who overcame. You see, she thought she was just, but she had a purpose, and God's timing was so right that when the woman came through the door, God made sure she met up with a woman who was abused already. So she didn't just sympathize, she empathized. And then from that point, she says, well, this is how God taught me to overcome. And she shepherded that girl until she overcame. Now they both stand tall, giving testimony and glory to God. Can the church say hallelujah? You see, it is that moment, just one moment. John was there to prepare the way for Christ. The word was in him. When the moment had passed, John died. What else could he do? Nothing. You see, that's why some of us are wondering why we're not home with daddy. Your purpose has not been fulfilled. You have not fed into me as older, the older generation, what I need to do and know in order that when I get to your age, I can still stand. You haven't fed into me. You're holding on to these valuable jewels because you think you are not worthy. And I'm saying to you, you know what? When the time is right, God will move you to speak to a young person and speak that life into them. Why? Because if Jesus says, my words are spirit, they are breath, and they are life, they are power. How much more the body of Christ? How much more the body of Christ? Instead of us dragging down people, let us speak a prophetic word of life into them. I close because I want to give you two words God gave me. And I'm not doing it because there are so many words God has given me, but I'm doing this so that we can listen to how God is talking to us and apply that so that we know, okay, I'm getting this type of word from the Lord, right? And then how I relate that to what I'm meant to be doing. Are you with me? The first one, which is actually the second one on my sheet, I'm just going to read. The word of the Lord came to me on the 23rd of the 8th, 2004. I was in prayer between 4 and 5 o'clock, because I write it down because it's important to know the time. And I perceived this. The Holy Spirit was walking among the candlesticks of the heart of his people. And he was compiling a report similar to the report to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And I'll go on to say, it was a report of correction that will not be written by the prophets, but will be written into the hearts of his people. And we, his people, will not get any sleep or rest until these issues are dealt with. God is after a clean church, and only a clean church is what he is coming back for. The first stage is, of judgment is always correction. And then the Lord says to me, something specific unto me. And then as I wrote these words down, may the Lord help us to receive this correction and not to reject it. Now I say that to say this. I looked at the word and I've got so many words like that. Are you with me? So I know probably one of the calls of my life is to prepare the church for the coming of Christ. It kind of makes sense. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not just using this as an example. I'm just saying this word and so many like it. And the reason why I'm saying it is so that when you hear from God while you're playing your instruments, while you're worshiping, you write it down, the date that you got it, and then you need to excavate it. You need to look at it and really find out what is God saying for you to do. Are you with me? You see, that way, that word God has placed in you, really, it must come to the surface. It must come out. It must. And when you know that, you will be able to position yourself correctly. The second word that he gave me was the one whereby I've explained this to before about, it showed me two beasts, one representing the kingdom of heaven, one representing the kingdom of darkness. And they were coming together to war. And the one beast gets close to the other and then he starts to smile and be friendly. And it kind of puts the other beast off so much that he starts to smile and be very, very, you know, accommodating to that. But then when he got within distance of him, and the second beast, which was the kingdom of God, raised up his hands to give this other beast a hug, he snipes down and drips off his genitalia. Now, what was God saying to me? The enemy's after our children. He's after the children of the body of Christ. And then he asks the question, what am I going to do with the word that he's given me? In other words, he gives me a pictorial of what's going on. The enemy comes with all his sly tactics in order to subdue the kingdom of God so that we are open to him so he can kill us. But he's not after us, really. He's after our children. He definitely wants a generation to rise up that does not know the Lord, who has nothing to do with him. That is why the world today does what? Everything is worldly. Everything. They do not recognize God. They don't want to recognize him. They don't want to know him. It's a very serious word, isn't it? It's not something that we can take lightly. And you know what? This is the season that we're in. We're in a season of seriousness before God. God is not laughing. It's no longer big smiles and happiness. Although the joy of the Lord is my strength. Are you with me? I'm not depressed because I understand and know the God I serve. But I must position myself. I must make sure I am clear about the word God has placed within me. I must be clear. And then I can do exploits for God. Amen. Amen. I want us all to stand. This is a timely word. Some of us will be digesting this for the rest of our life. Hallelujah. All it is to do is to prepare us. Listen, honestly, I know so many people have died and the whole church says, I know that they are with the Lord. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you do not. None of us do. There are so many that wore collars, so many powerful prophets that right now realize hell is their portion. There's nothing they can do about it. But our job is to prepare the church. Our job is to bring, by the leading of Christ, a church that is spotless so Jesus Christ is happy with who he's taken on. That's our job. Nothing else. Nothing else. And our job must be to do that by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because without him, we know nothing. We can't lean to our own understanding. It will fail us. God gave me a vision of perfection. He says, this is perfection. He says, you've got a choir that have the worst voices in the world. They can't sing a note in tune. But here, they sing every note accurately in here. You see, we would say, what? I can't be blessed by that. What kind of foolishness and rubbish is that? Why? Because we're seeing in the natural. But you see, and that's where we come to first scripture. What God says is not what we think he says. Father, I've delivered your word according to the mandate that you've given me. If there is anything that I have left out, Lord, impact each heart to search the scriptures for themselves so that when they get to their houses in their spare time, Lord God, they can really expand on what has been delivered here this morning. But Father, I pray and intercede, I stand in the gap right now for every individual within the body of Christ in this church and churches outside of these walls right now, God, who are not in the place that they are meant to be. I pray under you, God, that you send your spirit of conviction into their hearts so that the word in them that you put in them even before they were born and placed in their mother's womb can be resurrected. God, I believe when your word says that which you speak is spirit and it is life. I speak that which you have exhaled into me. I exhale it now into the atmosphere in order that every individual man and woman of God who truly wants to know who you are, who are called of heaven, called of Christ, ordained by God, can hear this word in the realm of the spirit, that no man hears it in the flesh, and that everybody positions themselves to get themselves ready for the return of the Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, for doing much more abundantly above everything that I could even ask or imagine. In Jesus' name. And the church said,